Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Morning show on a Friday with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. Hopefully you're having a safe drive in this morning. A little chilly. Big weekend ahead, of course. Hawks play tonight in San Antonio. Home tomorrow against the Pistons. But, of course, a lot of the focus is going to be on what happens Sunday in the doubleheader in the AFC and NFC championship games. Complete coverage on the radio. If you're out and about and you have to leave your television, then come to 92.9 The Game. Our coverage of the Titans and Chiefs begins at 2. Our coverage of the Packers and 49ers will follow at 6. And so the doubleheader is live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So as we were thinking about these games this weekend, and we thought, how do we want to talk about them? I decided to throw out a few things here, and I wanted Abe to weigh in, and Oren can jump in when he wants to, Hugh, to throw out a few things. I've come up, now these are not, except for the very last one we're going to do, not official prop bets in Las Vegas. The last one is, and it has nothing to do, by the way, with this AFC-NFC weekend. It's just interesting. So these are my bets, and I just want to have you tell, I mean, they're close to what the prop bets you can get in Vegas is, some of them, but I have some others that are thrown in there. So let's just jump into this. Let's begin in the AFC, all right? The record, Hugh, for most rushing yards in an AFC playoff game, by the way, you should know this, the NFL counts AFL playoff games as AFC, all right, for records purposes. Mm-hmm. So the record is in the 1963 AFL championship by Steve Lincoln of the San Diego Chargers against the Boston Patriots, 206 yards. So there are two questions here. Can Derrick Henry break the record of 206 yards in an AFC playoff game this week? Yes or no?
Can he?
Yeah.
Against that team? Yes. Yes. I'm going to say yes.
Can he break the record? Abe.
In theory, can he? Yes. Will he? No.
Okay, that's what
if
then
the
over under
ball
I got.
Every play, he might have to get up to 206.
Right. Well, no, but that brings me to my question.
61 carries will
okay,
get to 206.
Okay, right, so that's the record.
How many has he had in the last couple
I set
of weeks, though?
I set the over under at 177.5.
That's a little more likely.
Yeah, because listen, if I'm not mistaken, what, they had 22 carries last week or something like that?
Oh, no, more than
no,
that.
No, he had 30 carries. Yeah. Okay, 33 carries 2 weeks ago, 30 last week.
Okay, and you were the one who – go back to this.
Okay, 30 carries.
Reminder, he went through 188 against them in their first matchup.
He's had 200 twice in his career. Hugh, you were the one who said they're going to ride that horse till it dies because he's going to be a free agent,
30 carries a game? They're going to ride him to death this weekend against that porous defense of the Kansas City Chiefs. They have trouble stopping the run.
Do you think how close this game is could be reliant on whether he gets to that number or not? If they're being blown out, Tannehill's got to start throwing, right?
Well, see, that's the thing.
You can't just keep riding.
The thing that we know about the Kansas City Chiefs is that they can score quick. Now, if you get one of those ones where, say, for instance, I honestly believe that the time of possession is going to be in favor of the Tennessee Titans going into the game because of their style of play. No question about that. But the quick strike ability of Kansas City Chiefs is going to always keep this game interesting. So if we get a situation where, say, that defense, if they could just stop him one or two series and get the ball back and score, you're talking about up two touchdowns. Now that changes the game plan. It all depends on how Brable, how committed
he is to the run. I don't think this game's close entering the fourth quarter. So I think Tannehill's going to be throwing a lot back half of the third and fourth quarter. I think that's going to limit.
So over under 177.5.
I'm going to say, boy, this is the only thing you got to stop. It's the only thing if you're Kansas City you got to stop. So I'm going to say under.
You? Over under 177.5 for Henry.
Over. This cat, he touching the rock 30 times.
Over under three
touching the rock.
Over under three touchdown passes for Patrick Mahomes.
Over.
Three. Over under.
I would say over 3 40-yard touchdown passes. Like that's how they're going deep all day.
More records. Surprisingly, to me anyway, and maybe surprisingly to you, Hugh and Abe and Oren, the record for most catches in an AFC championship game is only 11 by Pierre Garçon of the Colts. That is against in 2000 against, I guess I'm trying to remember who he was playing. Anyway, he said it in the year 2000. 11. Will Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce break the record of 11?
11 touches?
11 catches.
Well, yeah, touches, catches.
Touches, catches. It could be an end around. Well,
touches or catches is the same thing to me, Abe. Same thing.
But they're not. Statistically, literally, they are not.
Same thing.
The same thing to you because you never touched the ball. The same thing because you
It's a two-part question. What of them break the record? And if so, which one? Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce.
I would probably say Travis Kelce. No, I'm going to say Tyreek Hill. Because I don't think they're going to let Travis Kelce be the one to beat you this weekend because he had three last week. So they're going to be or make sure that that's not going to happen.
It's an interesting debate because I could see both of them doing it. My brain tells me Tyreek Hill is going to be throwing the ball less, but throwing the ball deeper, obviously. But, of course, you got to stop Kelce. I mean, he was a monster last week.
Yeah, and I'm thinking from a defensive standpoint.
Mahomes doesn't traditionally use Tyreek Hill the way Michael Thomas is used for the Saints with that ball. A lot of it's a lot of deep threats, big play. Yeah,
and he takes chances. The top. Like, the thing, the Kansas City
Kelce's breaking a record, 13 catches.
Tyreek Hill takes the top off of defense quick.
13 right. for 118.
To the NFC. Tevin Coleman will score a touchdown, yes or no?
Can we talk?
Tevin Coleman will score a touchdown. They continue to start him over Mostert and Breida. He was outstanding last weekend.
Had over 100.
They're going to keep going against that, and he will score one touchdown. Don't know if it'll be rushing, might be receiving. He'll get one.
Yeah,
sure.
Right? So you go, yes. Over under 3 is the number, okay? How many times do the announcers reference 28-3 because of Shanahan against LaFleur? Over under 3.
Zero.
28-3. You mean trying to reference the Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say zero. Those two have the same staff,
you know, because they'll take a picture of them.
You know what? That'd be a stretch. I think that would be a stretch.
I'll tell you why it's zero. There's a better connection between these two teams than Shanahan and LaFleur. That's LaFleur and LaFleur. Matt LaFleur's brother is the passing game coordinator
Nobody
for the
Niners.
Nobody
cares about that.
No one cares about 28-3.
No. The media is obsessed with 28-3.
They're not going to say it. I'll take the under. What did you say, 3?
Three Super Bowl references of those two.
I don't recall hearing that in last week's broadcast.
They made reference they were on the staff together. They're not going to say 28-3.
Well, but that's the same thing. If they talk about them being on the Atlanta staff together, and then, of course, in the throes of that, they'll go, because if it gets down to, Shanahan's going to have to shake that, 28-3 thing.
They may mention they were on the staff together. They have a previous history. They know each other.
Stop.
I don't think they're going to say that it's 28-3.
I don't know about that.
I'm saying under.
That might be a reason.
All right, which of the girlfriends gets more airtime? Danica Patrick, Brittany Matthews, Lauren Tannehill, or we don't know who the hell Garoppolo's girlfriend is.
Porn star.
I don't think that. No,
I don't
still,
think, I don't think it's a
on.
Thing anymore. Nobody knows who Garoppolo's girlfriend is or if he even has one. So of the three that we know of, Danica Patrick, Brittany Matthews, and wife in the case of Lauren Tannehill.
Or the porn star. But Abe wanted me to, but Oren wanted me to point out that they only went on a date once. But I will say this.
That was 2 years ago.
Yeah. You don't supposed to take porn stars on dates. You're not supposed to. I know that's probably going to get me in a little bit of trouble. But I wholeheartedly believe that that's gay. Like, it's a porn star. That's not what you're
so supposed who, to do. So who gets more airtime? Brittany Matthews, Lauren Tannehill, who's by far the prettiest of the three.
I assume Brittany Matthews is Mahomes'
girlfriend, and Danica Patrick.
Danica Patrick.
I'm going to go. I disagree. But
it all depends on how well Brittany Matthews turns up.
Brittany Matthews is the one that's hot in – She's trending right now after that nonsense last week. I think she's the one they ride. Plus, it's a home game.
But she's trending because she had – we don't know this for sure, but it looked like she had a couple adult beverages.
I think Brittany Matthews gets shown multiple times, probably with the video of last week as well.
You can't have the young lady that –
Are we
that
even sure Danica's going?
She's
know.
Going. Oh, you can't have the girl that looks like she's driving somewhere that I don't know about.
I mean, come on. All right, so if Kansas City wins, will Brittany Matthews make a drunk selfie video again?
We don't know for sure, John Fricky, if she was drunk. We don't know that. We don't even know if she was drinking. She might be like that all the time.
Well, that's scary.
I think she parodies herself. I think she would parody herself, John, and make a sober celebration victory making fun of herself. Drunk on.
Wait a minute.
She liked that all the time without any help.
Oof. Leave Brittany alone.
Leave Brittany
alone.
Is that never mind. Let me
yes,
stop.
That
let me
is.
Go ahead and leave it alone.
All right, the final one here, guys, is an actual bet you can get on Bovada in Vegas right now. Okay? The books set these odds yesterday. You ready for this one here? This is nothing to do with the AFC and NFC title game, but it is an NFL thing. Ready? Will Antonio Brown get arrested in 2020? You could actually bet on this. And yes, is an overwhelming favorite over no.
I would say no. Arrested for what? He hasn't really, outside of what he's been allegedly accused of, he hasn't really done anything that's going to put him in the path of being arrested. He's just doing
this,
stupid
this
stuff.
Year.
Yeah, he's just doing stupid stuff.
What is arrested? Just placed in cuffs is not arrested.
I don't know. I don't know what kind.
Turning yourself.
I guess you'd have to
turning
be,
yourself in is not arrested.
You'd have to be booked. You know, fingerprinted.
I'm thinking, when
are
I
we
say
going
arrested,
actual conviction here?
No. Arrested means like fingerprinting, booked, fingerprinting,
like
and mugshot.
Like saying if he slapped the cop on the buttocks,
that's
and
OBJ,
the cop
right?
basically said, you know, I'm.
I'm gonna say no. I think I can get a lot of money on the no.
Yeah, me too. Don't miss the Atlanta Hawks as they go head to head against the Detroit Pistons on Saturday, January 18th at State Farm Arena. Get your tickets today at hawks.com/tickets.
All right, some of the real NFL headlines around the corner. An agent, talk about OBJ's making news. Well, these two guys, between OBJ and AB, they are owning social media right now. We'll tell you the very latest in regards to that on this championship weekend ahead with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game after a CBS Sports Minute.
I think more of the players, and I'm sitting here thinking about myself and all that. I mean, that's not where I go. I try to get the guys ready. I try to make sure I'm ready and then go play, and I don't look at it that way. I look more at the disappointment for the other teams that I've been able to coach and how those kids felt because they've worked their tail off.
Make you feel any better there, Hugh?
He's doing it for us?
Yeah, disappointment for the other teams I coach because they worked their tail off. That was Big Red, by the way.
I don't know about that because I like this. This is a competitive game, and I know Big Red well enough to know that he's very, very competitive. That I think a little bit of that was probably a little bit of coach speak.
The NFL
somebody got to lose. Somebody got to lose.
NFL headlines brought to you by Hartsfield Jackson. Hartsfield Jackson making business travel more rewarding for companies and employees. You go to atlcorporaterewards.com. That's atlcorporaterewards.com. For more information, it's free and it is easy. I've been hearing you Titans fans, and it's not a surprise that the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, he was lighting up with Titans fans who are, you know, in their feelings about us talking about Kansas City and Tennessee.
Wait a minute, why didn't the Philly? Because, see, I don't look at the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line.
A couple things. You know, there are a lot of Chiefs fans in town. Mike McKenzie, Money Mike, is one of
our. A
lot
of Titans fans, too. Shout out to my man, Paul Bible. Well, Paul Bible's a huge Titan fan.
There are a lot of Titans. You know, only team left in the South. And then with this station, and you may know this, is a blowtorch, and you can hear us in Chattanooga.
Blowtorch,
and
I like
so you know, you can hear us all the way up, and then we get into Titan country up there. Once you, there are a lot of Falcons fans still in Chattanooga because old school, but
yeah.
The new school are Tennessee Titans fans, and so yeah, there are a lot of Titans fans. We're not. We'll pick the game in the 8 o'clock, about an hour from now. We'll pick the games.
Nobody's dissing.
Look,
come on, let's be real. Come
you
on,
just
Titans
beat the
fans.
Patriots and the Ravens back
come
to back
on,
of
come
the road.
On, Titans fans, you guys didn't think you couldn't have thought. That you would have went as far as you went in the playoffs so far, like that.
You didn't even know if you were going to make the playoffs.
That's one thing. If you're being real with yourself, so don't get all up in your feelings when somebody's giving you an analysis of what they think could potentially happen. Nobody said you were going to lose, but just like people like that get upset when you say something that they've been thinking or some reality type stuff. Don't you sound real crazy when you know for a fact. Y'all didn't think y'all were going this deep in the playoffs. You know for a fact when you found out that you were going to Gillette Stadium that there were a lot of Titans fans that were like, I don't know about that.
Does anybody want to tackle Derrick Henry to begin with, and let alone if the wind chill is going to be 12?
No, Your Honor. Not at all. No.
The wind chill at Kansas City is supposed to be 12.
No, you know what? It's certain guys that when you look at, when you would like say, for instance, I remember playing in Arizona, David Boston. First time playing against David Boston, and it was me and Kurt, the receiver.
Right. So David Boston was a wide receiver who happened to be about as wide and big a wide receiver as he could have, right?
It was me and Corey Simon, and you know, Corey played D-tackle, played defensive end.
He was like 6'4", 240 or something?
Man, listen.
He was like a tight end.
David Boston was like a superhero. He could have been, insert superhero name here, Superman, Green Lantern, the Flash, anybody with the big upper body and the little leg, look built like a DC superhero.
Like Stretch.
Man, oh my goodness. Oh man, that was funny. And I remember, like, Al Harris was playing DB, and he had to guard David Boston for something. And it was an interception. And Al had got, you know, like, you know how when the DBs get an interception and they pitch it?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody pitched it to Al. And David Boston teed him up and cleaned his clock. Like, cleaned his clock. Like, hit him like a linebacker. Al ain't no big dude. And I remember we were on the bus getting ready to go because everybody's like, damn, did you see that hit that David Boston put on Al? Now, Al's a defender, but everybody's talking about the hit that David Boston put on him. I was ready to fight all of us because we were laughing at the fact that he got blew up by a receiver.
He should have fought the guy who pitched it to him.
Man, that's what we were saying. But you know what? When stuff like that happens, when you have a receiver do a DB like that and guys joke about it, that's a good chance for you to get punched in the face yourself. Oh, they don't play that, especially when it's an offensive player that does that. But, man, you talk about size. He's a big dude. Derrick Henry. You look at Mark Ingram. There was a picture like back when I guess Mark came to one of the games or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and they were standing. You know which one I'm talking about, Orin. They were standing side by side, and Mark Ingram looked like he could have been Derrick Henry's son, like his little boy. Like he was that much bigger than him, and it's ridiculous. Like he's a big man. Like he's a real big man, and you got to get your mind right if you're gonna have to tackle that as a defender. Every play, you got to get your mind right. And the guys in the secondary, they're telling their D tackles in the defensive line, hey, man, don't let that big-ass dude get his butt back here. That's what you're telling your defensive line. Like, hey, man, don't let him get through you. Don't let him come back here because if he does, I'm going to make a business decision. And more than likely, he's going to get that touchdown because if it's me one-on-one with him and I'm trying to hit him, they're going to give that – you know how you see that one where they go for the legs. They telegraph the hit
right, so
that he could jump over him, but it still looks like they tried to do their job, and he off to the races. That's what he brings to the table.
NFL headlines. We began the segment with Hugh's old coach, Andy Reid. Now another person that Hugh knows, Drew Rosenhaus. Drew Rosenhaus has ended his agreement with Antonio Brown, terminated him yesterday. Basically, the agent fired the player. And Drew said, you got to go get counseling, dude.
Yeah, something has to give, man. I know Drew. I know Drew pretty well. He was my agent when I retired. I can't see Drew allowing this behavior to go on. As a matter of fact, full disclosure, I made a phone call. That's who, when I was talking about earlier in the week, called a friend of mine who is closely affiliated with them. And he was like, the Antonio Brown thing. Antonio doesn't want to listen to anybody who challenges him on anything that he does. He surrounded himself by yes men. This is not a good look. And when you're talking about an agent that's potentially trying to find you another job, and get you back in the league. Basically, what Drew is trying to do is sell you. Probably took him forever to get that tryout with the Saints. Saints asked you, from what I was told, from allegedly, Saints asked him not to bring his entourage.
Mm-hmm.
Brought him anyway.
Right.
That's not a good look. That, to a lot of people, shows that you're not serious or sincere about playing football in the NFL.
And New Orleans police have filed a charge of simple battery on Odell Beckham Jr. for patting the butt of a security guard, a Paul Blart mall cop guy, in the locker room, who was trying to get the LSU Tigers to stop smoking cigars because they were all worried about cigar smoking. Good God.
Yeah.
But so now OBJ is facing this. To me, it almost sounds like more a civil suit and a money grab by the security
this
guard.
This is. I was listening to Marcellus Wiley talk about this yesterday. This is Dumb and Dumber. At the highest level. Odell Beckham Jr. was dumb for smacking the dude on the butt, but the security guard is even dumber. This stems from all of that, them smoking cigars.
And the cops threatened to arrest LSU.
Yes.
Like, what are you doing? I mean,
Somebody took it upon themselves to take it to the next level. But security guard, officer of the law, whatever. Bottom line is this. You shouldn't put your hands on anybody. You shouldn't. Odell Beckham Jr. did himself no favors by, number one, the money thing and this. Didn't do himself any favors because he's added grief and stress to something that really he didn't have to do. You don't have to smack that. Listen, it was funny, but you don't know that guy. He doesn't know you. And you have to know in a situation like that that it could go potentially go either way. I'm just glad it wasn't a female officer.
Yeah, wife.
I'm man, so happy it wasn't a female officer.
Hey, let me say, me too.
Yeah, that'd have been pretty bad. But again, right, you can't put your hands on anybody.
This is going to go away. The security guards
probably not, John.
Well, the security guards, because the security guards are the one that filed the complaint, so the police had to do it. So all, the security guard's attorney calls Odell and says, you know, make us an offer, $25,000 fine, we withdraw.
But see that well, yeah, you have to because you have to pay it because you did it.
Right.
But this
it's going to cost
all
$25,000.
Could have been avoided.
Right.
Like, come on, man. Like you've made yourself. You made it. You made the greatest moment, one of the greatest moments in LSU history, about you. Now I understand, like people are talking about, we should ostracize Odell Beckham Jr.
Odell Beckham Antonio Brown thing have anything to do? And I know that everybody talks about and CTE, and I get that, but does it have anything to do with your? I've always said that wide receivers are different cats, right, than any other players.
They are, and you know it's funny. Some people are. They like to be the center of attention, which is fine. I mean, that works well for some individuals. But sometimes I think that in certain instances, you need to pull that back a little bit. And in that one, dude, you needed to pull that one way back.
Like Antonio Brown, okay. Yeah.
You need to pull that one way back, man. Because, you know, you talk about Booger McFarland. I think about all the guys that went to LSU that I know personally. I didn't see all them that played in the NFL. I didn't see all them on the sideline. Booger McFarland won a Super Bowl. Saw him at the beginning of the game. And saw him during cuts of the game.
Was like Leonard Fournette there, where I would assume.
I would assume that Grady Jarrett, like on the other side, right. Grady was there, didn't hear anything about that. Or you know, like, you got to know how to compose yourself. Odell Beckham Jr. was on another level. Like, he was on another level that day.
Hey, listen for your cue to call for Matchbox 20 tickets all week long here on the show. And then, of course, it would end today. When we go into or out of a break with a Matchbox 20 song, it's just a bumper song. First caller at 404-741-0929 is going to win.
This isn't Matchbox 20, by the way. Let them know.
I mean, this is not Matchbox 20, though. No. You'll win tickets to their show in August. Listen closely for Matchbox. No, this is not Matchbox 20. Next up, Hawks get ready for the Spurs tonight. Guess who's back? Jeff Teague is a Hawk again. That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com. The Atlanta Hawks trying to open the second half on a positive note have a tall task tonight as they go to San Antonio to face the San Antonio Spurs. And welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Hawks are going to have a big run here, three games in 4 days, and actually kind of less than 4 days because one of them is an afternoon game. They'll play tonight against the Spurs in San Antonio. Then they'll return home tomorrow night to face the Pistons at State Farm Arena, have Sunday off, and then Monday afternoon on MLK Day, they will host the Toronto Raptors. So very busy four-day stretch with three games for the Atlanta Hawks and trying to keep their legs underneath them. But the big news for the Hawks this morning isn't about that. It's about the fact that Jeff Teague is back on the Atlanta Hawks roster.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking when I heard that name and him coming back, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But immediately I thought, like, how does he feel about that? Like, how did he feel knowing that he was coming back to Atlanta after the way that everything went down?
Yeah, it's kind of a different team now a little bit.
Well, I mean, a different team, but you were the guy. And then, you know, the whole Dennis Schroeder thing.
Right.
And now you're coming back.
Well, let's see. Morning is like probably zero in Minneapolis, so.
Well, no. Oh, no. And you probably still, you know, you. I'm pretty sure you still know folks here and have, you know, like friends and stuff here. But still, like you're coming back. You're coming back and your role has changed drastically.
Well, at his age, yes.
Yeah, but still, you know, that's like, you know, coming back to Philadelphia. Well, I mean, I did it, and being on the second squad. I mean, it's a little different. It's an adjustment because you're used to. I mean, even though you understand what the situation is, the scenario is, it's still a little awkward because you look at the way that you exited, and you know they made Dennis Schroeder the guy, and now you're coming back to help usher in another young point guard.
But if you accept the role like Andre Iguodala did when he went to Golden State, does he become your Andre Iguodala?
He could. That's what I'm saying. I mean,
Andre Iguodala was the man in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And then he became the sixth man in.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't know how he feels about that. That was one of the first things that I thought about. I was like, how does that make him feel? And I'm pretty sure he had a meeting of the mind. You know,
31-32 now.
Soul searching a little bit. Probably still feel like he can still play.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Yeah. And so he's going to go, you know.
He could have 3, 4, 5 years left in him.
Yeah. Probably adjusting a little bit.
And he's kind of from this area. I mean, it's good for me because being a Wake Forest fan and one of the teams I root for because I used to be the play-by-play guy of the Deacs, to have two Wake Forest guys on the team, to have Jeff Teague and John Collins is kind of neat for me. Go Deacs, go. But I think this is a great move. And look, this isn't to take anything away from Brandon Goodwin, who did pretty, you know, a pretty good role, you know, filling in here, you know. But Jeff Teague is a, obviously, and Brandon understands this too, is a proven veteran point guard. And so to have that backup, this, to me, Hugh, this is a win for the Hawks if it's about not just the remainder of this year, but about next year. Because if Jeff Teague, because you're spot on, Hugh, you absolutely nailed it when you talk about can he, if he's willing to accept this role as a come off the bench behind Trae Young for the next 2 or 3 years, if he's willing to accept that.
It'd be a nice little piece.
This will be a great piece.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like you got to.
Because he's a great defender.
And I also think that maybe having Vince Carter on the team maybe makes that a little bit easier of a transition. You know, I mean, in some way, I guess, you know, just having a veteran back there that you could talk to that's kind of been through this. You're talking about somebody who's been through transition is, you know, at this point in his career.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a good person to talk to.
Now, I'm thrilled that Teague is back because, this is a move that really could benefit the Hawks greatly in terms of not the remainder of this year, but if you can get him to accept the role next year. Because if you go into free agency at the end of the year to get a big, or maybe they make, look, this may not be the only trade they make.
Mm-hmm.
And they may make a trade for a big here, maybe go out and get a Steven Adams or something like that, or an Andre Drummond. It's possible. And I know some fans are saying, no, you got a tank. You got to remember this. We got to get Ant-Man. Look, even if you have, as the Hawks do, the worst record in the NBA, remember there's a lottery. And even if you have the worst record, you may end up with a fourth pick and not get him. So it's not like the NFL where you could just straight tank, okay?
Yeah. And this is another thing. This is not so much about, you know, I mean, it is about Jeff Teague because it's about how much he can help Trae become a better defender,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if he's willing to do that. You know, I mean, that's the thing. Again, go back to whether or not he's willing to be a teacher because ultimately that's what he is. He's going to be a guy that's going to be a teacher and show Trae how to defend a little bit better.
So I think this is a, you know, just a positive move. Mike Conley had an interesting tweet in regards to Jeff Teague. He said, you know, Jeff Teague was traded for Taurean Prince. Then Taurean Prince was traded for Allen Crabbe. Then Allen Crabbe was traded for Jeff Teague. So it just went.
That's that next-gen stats right there. Shout out to my man, Mike Conley.
Went right around the corner here. And it makes you wonder, you know, you pick up a guy like Jeff Teague, and we asked this in our morning menu question, and you can go to the Twitter at 929thegame and talk about the three morning menu questions. Can the Hawks be a 500 team the rest of the season? Picking up Jeff Teague certainly would help that chance because from a defensive standpoint, especially as you just said, Hugh, what is the Achilles heel? Well, the Hawks have two Achilles heels.
Defense.
One, they're young, and two, they don't play defense.
Yeah.
And so you know, learning to do that is going to be something that will be, you know, Jeff Teague, again, great all NBA defensive player.
Yeah, and I tell you what, I'm pretty sure that Coach Pierce is probably pretty excited about having him here. Just another veteran presence, somebody that has a understanding of what he's trying to do. Because it's funny, talking to Coach Pierce yesterday, man, like you could tell he's been coaching. Like you could tell in his voice that he's been coaching. He's earning his keep this year. He was really, like, you could just tell that, you know, he's really locked in to trying to make this team much better. Mm-hmm. He's really locked into that.
Mm-hmm. No, I think, again, there's nothing wrong. This is all upside. They're a pure upside move by the Atlanta Hawks, who play the Spurs tonight. Our coverage with Mike Conley and with the real voice of the Hawks, Steve Holman, begins at 8 tonight. The tip at 8:30. From San Antonio, Texas, and again, first of three games in less than 4 days, so it's going to be really tiring for the Hawks. Any moves that Travis Schlenk makes between now and with the Teague move and the end of the year are all designed to be about next season. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as to the draft again, I want people to understand, and I think they do, that there's a firm belief that this is a relatively weak NBA draft.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing. I keep hearing that.
Everybody seems to be kind of looking around. Look, Ant-Man may be a star in the NBA. That's possible. James Wiseman, who's now sitting out for Memphis, could be a star. And at 7-1, that certainly would help. And then, of course, you have, Cole Anthony at North Carolina. But there's one of the ways you can know that it's an interesting draft, if you go look at the mock drafts, how many foreign players are in the first? There's like five. France and Croatia and other places like that.
Like, and that's what you talk about. Travis has been, scouring the country, the world, trying to find some NBA players. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and guys, so we just have no clue about some. But a very busy, I wanted to make sure I'm right, a very busy basketball time. I had to look at the date here. I lose the date. Hawks playing Spurs tonight. Hawks at home against the Pistons on Saturday. Sunday, Taco Fall is in College Park. And then the Hawks are home Monday.
What?
Are they like the Maine Lobsters or something? Isn't that what their name is, the Maine Lobsters? I have no idea what team he plays for. All right, 8 o'clock hour is approaching here. You and I are going to hear from the coaches and talk to you about our thoughts about the AFC and NFC championship games. We'll also pick the big games in our pick six. That's all ahead in the 8 o'clock hour next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.